Here we go.
So fast is not the speed we run the donut chamber.
That's it. Not normally. I'll give just a second. Everybody got a handout? Okay. Prayer and fasting is designed as voluntarily going without food in order to focus on prayer and fellowship with God. Prayer and fasting often go hand in hand, but this is not always the case. You can pray without fasting and you can fast without prayer. But you cannot fast biblically without prayer. That's based on a comment by John MacArthur. The point of the fast is to combine it with a more intense, focused time of prayer that brings a greater communication with God, a greater empowerment of the Spirit, and a greater earnestness in your soul. The Old Testament law specifically required prayer and fasting for only one occasion, and that was the Day of Atonement. This custom became known as the Day of Fasting in Jeremiah 36, or the fast in Acts 27. As far as I know, nowhere in the New Testament is there a specific command for believers to spend time in prayer and fasting. In all the epistles, not one time is the church told to fast. Nowhere in the New Testament did Jesus institute any kind of fast. Fasting is mentioned, but no rules are laid down. Paul said that he fasted, but in all of his letters to the church, starting with Romans, there is not a single reference telling the church to fast. There are instructions how to fast in the New Testament, but Matthew 6:16 declares when you fast. But there is no command to fast. Fasting or no fasting, God only promises to answer our prayers when we ask according to His will. If we are asking for something that is not honoring to God or not God's will for our lives, God will not give what we ask for, whether we fast or not. Should Christians fast today? There's three reasons why we should. First one, because the teachings of Jesus. He assumed His disciples would fast when, not if. He said they would fast when He was gone. He taught His disciples how to fast so as to receive God's favor. That when done properly, fasting would incur God's good favor. That fasting should be done only when the occasion properly calls for it. That there would be occasions when prayer joined with fasting might be needed. Reason number two, because we have examples of the church fasting. The church at Antioch in Acts 13 fasted in their service to the Lord, fasting in prayer when they sent out Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. The church at Galatia in Acts 14, when they fasted when they were about to appoint elders. And the third reason, because Paul fasted as a minister of Christ, he listed fasting among those things which proved him as a minister of Jesus. And are we not commanded to imitate him even as he imitated Christ? That's in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Any questions on why we should fast today?
What about Jesus?
We're going to get to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to Jesus big time here in a minute.
When you talk about the scripture that said when you fast, would that assessment be that we should be more in a command type, or is that just an assumption we could discard? That
what does the word when mean?
Well, there's verses where he says.
Look at it, and I'm not defending not taking the Lord's Supper every week, but what does it say about the Lord's Supper? As often as you take of it.
Yes.
And I kind of put them kind of together as the same. That's how I interpret it. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking it should be a part of our Christian life, just because it's an assessment or that Jesus said.
Right.
As if that is occurring to the first century at all times, it should be a part of ours. Not that it's a direct command, but it's something that's understood that that's what we do.
Right, and I said something like when, not if.
Yeah.
So we throw the if out, it's when. Whenever we do it, this is how we're going to do it.
Okay.
So, good point. Anybody else have a comment or a question?
I don't know if you were going to talk about it, but there are huge health benefits to the fasting. And I think that if we ignore the fact that God designed us to heal during fasting, that would probably, that's probably one reason he designed that into us, so that when we fasted, it had a double benefit. Had a spiritual benefit as well as a physical benefit.
Right. I mean, you and I have talked about that. I'm going to deal a lot with the spiritual side, and I've asked Wayne to jump in with the physical side from time to time. So if I may defer some of your questions over to him. Bernard?
Because when you fast, that gives you an opportunity to get closer to God, because like you read earlier, you're focusing directly on that, because it may be something in your life at that time that you really need to get a closeness with God so that he can see that you're earnest. Because he talks about when you pray with earnest. Fasting and prayer give you that earnest connection with God so that he will hear your prayer and he won't have to answer
it, yeah.
So fasting is something we should do all the time.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about it as we get in more into class.
We do have one biblical example of fasting without prayer, and that's in the book of Esther.
And what was going on?
When Mordecai said that if you remain silent at this time, deliverance for the Jews will arise from someplace else. And who knows but what you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And Esther sent back and said, fast with me. Eat or drink nothing for 3 days and nights, mm-hmm. as will my servants.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will go to the king.
Right.
So we don't have any indication that it's not mentioned specifically.
It's not mentioned, but probably.
In the scripture.
It's not mentioned, but probably she was, but we don't know. You're right.
The point being is that it's much more effective to do the praying and fasting.
Right, right.
And the prayer is more effective, and the fasting is more effective.
Right. So, what is fasting? Fasting is essentially giving up food or something else for a period of time in order to focus your thoughts on God. While fasting, many people read the Bible, pray, or worship. Fasting is mentioned over 50 times in 30 books of the Bible. In the Old Testament times, God's people often fasted and prayed in times of crisis. The early church also fasted regularly, especially at times when they had to make key decisions. Karen Braun says this, fasting is the greatest spiritual discipline for seeking God's intervention. Combined with prayer, they together make up the most critical weapons of spiritual warfare and deliverance in our lives. While we cannot manipulate God, fasting always, when done in a biblical way, moves God to fulfill his intended will over the matters, unquote. According to God's words, he leads, directs, and blesses our prayers, but he has also given us fasting to use to increase our effectiveness in advancing his kingdom. I believe Bill Bright said it perfectly when he said, quote, I believe the power of fasting as it relates to prayer is the spiritual atomic bomb that our Lord has given us to destroy the strongholds of evil and usher in a great revival and spiritual harvest around the world. Fasting is a biblical approach that results in spiritual renewal, guidance, healing, resolution of problems, and special grace for handling difficult situations. It strengthens our resolve to trust and believe in Him, unquote. It is not a sin if one does not fast. Jesus said, when you fast, implying that it's not an essential Christian discipline. Believers are not obligated to fast, even if we know we ought to. However, believers who opt never to fast could be limited in experiencing matters that can be realized in their Christian lives only through both prayer and fasting. Fasting is not intended to make you suffer. It is a choice to abstain voluntarily from food, drink, sleep, or other things and involve your body in prayer. It is an exercise in humility. By fasting, we humble ourselves before God to hear Him clearly. It intensifies our ability to hear and know God's will and manifest God's power, whether for individual or corporate reasons. Fasting facilitates and enables us to pray more specifically and strategically, and invites the Holy Spirit to stir our souls, awaken our churches, and heal our land. When we respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting to fast, the results are powerful because God Himself is calling us on a special assignment. For followers of Christ, it is appropriate to incorporate regular times of prayer and fasting because there are always needs to be met. Questions or comments? Before we get to the good stuff. Not that this isn't good. We're going to get into examples. Let me put it like that. Yes, Dub?
You mentioned the Holy Spirit draws us to fast. How do we know that?
We ask for Him to come help us. Gives us the guidance and the wisdom and everything else we ask the Holy Spirit for help in.
Sometimes it's natural to fast too. Some of y'all have had an experience where you got sick and didn't want to eat.
Yeah.
And that is a natural way of God, that's God designed into you that you actually don't want to eat when you're toxic. Because your body is going through a healing process to get rid of that toxin in your body. And so your body will shut down and say, don't eat, so that you can get rid of the toxins in your body. Your body goes through a state of autophagy where it burns, it eats the cells in your body that are weaker, the cells in your body that are diseased, and there's problems with those cells. It even eats cancer when you're in a fasting state. So when you're in a fasting state, the body goes through a process of healing. I encourage you guys to get online. You're not going to hear this from your doctor because they're not taught this. But in other countries, they actually use fasting as a healing for diseases. And like in Russia, you can get online and look at a documentary called Science of Fasting. You can actually get on YouTube and watch it. There's a huge benefit to your health by fasting. We don't really realize that in this country because we have not used it. We talk a lot about it in my class, so if you were in the class that I have recently, you're probably aware of this, but your body actually needs to fast once in a while. If you don't fast, you'll probably eventually get sick.
Okay, thanks, Wayne. Like I said, if you have any questions about the physical side of it, there's your man right there. So, do you have a question?
And fasting gives you an out also if you go to a relative's house and you don't.
Oh, man, I couldn't turn it down yesterday. Mm-mm. Even had some fat back. Everybody eating fat back?
Yep.
Yeah.
Bring any?
I eat all mine. Yeah. It's not healthy. Probably not good for you, but it sure not tastes good. All right. So why should we fast? Honor God. Humble yourself. Discerning healing. And, of course, you can look up all these scriptures yourself. Deliverance from bondage. Revelation, God's vision and will, revival, personal and corporate, repentance, personal failures. Richard LaFontaine gives a good summary on the power of fasting. Fasting helps subject our bodies to our spirits. Fasting is discipling the body, mind, and spirit. Fasting is subordinating our flesh desires to our spirit desires. Fasting helps set the priorities in our lives. And fasting is longing after God. The majority of fasting in the Old Testament were in times of war or at the threat of it, when loved ones were sick, when seeking God's forgiveness, and when seeking God's protection. Some examples of fasting in the New Testament, when dealing with temptations, when serving the Lord, when beginning a work for the Lord, and when selecting and appointing elders. So when done properly, fasting humbles the soul, chastens the soul, and the prayers of a humble person are more likely to be heard. Any questions on why we should fast? So what does fasting do for our spiritual life? In their blog on the subject of prayer and fasting, Suzanne Niles and Wendy Simpson Little write, quote, "We find we are more sensitive to the voice of God, more attuned to hearing what He has to reveal to us," unquote. And they give 5 ways how fasting can change your life. Fasting and prayer can help us hear from God. Fasting and prayer can reveal our hidden sin. Fasting and prayer can strengthen intimacy with God. Fasting and prayer can teach us to pray with right motives. And fasting and prayer can build our faith. The outcome is twofold: victory and deliverance over matters being submitted to Him, and we draw closer to God, experiencing His grace, love, and power. Fasting demonstrates our willingness to take God and ourselves seriously. Some of His will, such as the rising of the sun, occurs regardless of prayer, but so much of God's will, especially His work in the lives of people, occurs only as people intercede in prayer. We learn from Matthew that Jesus also taught that what seems impossible can actually take place when people voluntarily fast and pray. We can attain God's complete will when we demonstrate faith and willingness to take God and ourselves seriously through prayer and fasting. Regular fasting cannot kill the body. We may lose weight and strength during prolonged fasts, but the spiritual breakthroughs and moving closer to God are too precious compared to anything we can lose. A fasting program ought to include prayer, intercession, reading of God's Word, and allowing God to speak from within. It can also include worshiping Him with songs and praise, and listening to or watching sermons focusing on areas you're burdened with. Allowing God to speak from within is not waiting to hear a strange voice. It is God speaking from within. His Spirit dwells in you, so He speaks from within. You will be able to grasp matters in your life and the lives of others in ways you never perceived them before. That is God speaking to you and revealing His ways to you. What He says is always supported by Scripture. Any questions on what does it do for us, our personal lives?
I think you commented, or the point you made about a voice might not be heard from God, but something eternally is happening from it.
Yeah.
So not be attuned to the physical nature of what we're used to, the 5 senses, but be attuned to the spiritual world.
Right.
Around us and within us, that God is working through that. And that's where our faith comes forward in these points,
right,
here, is that it's happening,
mm-hmm,
regardless of what we think physically is, because we want to see some tangible evidence of that, that that's not how God works.
Right.
Internally is what we want.
And we have to stay in the Word so we know that. We can just know the difference. Yes, ma'am.
Can you explain, too, how it reveals our hidden sins?
How it reveals our hidden sins? Sometimes we may not want to admit to ourselves that we have a sin. And by fasting, the Spirit is talking to us and saying, hey, you know, you got this problem, this issue. Yeah, Rosie?
I think going back to Wayne's point about the health benefit, sometimes you will discover in fasting that it's something that may have caused an illness. You don't know why, but once you fast, it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just an example, you know, my son has been allergic to dairy products. He loves cheese. And he realized when he fasted, he wasn't fasting to find that out, but during his fast, he found out that the external showing of the rashes he would have on his body were eliminated because he did fast. So mm-hmm. He knows that is something he needs to refrain from to be healthy. And so that is one, you know.
You could.
Cheese is a sin.
Right.
Don't
touch my ice cream.
Please don't.
Actually, that is one reason why it's difficult for a lot of people to fast is they don't realize it, but they're addicted to certain foods.
Yeah.
And they cannot stop eating that. That's why it was so hard for people to fast. So fasting also helps you to break addictions that you may have, especially to sugar, which is probably one of the most addictive substances.
Dub?
To address Valeria's question, that first, the humbling effect that we aren't perfect is what needs to be evident.
Right.
Prayers to God in fasting and in any other way to reveal what is contrary to His will.
Right.
It might be something unknown, because we think in the logical sense that this is sin or this is not sin, but God revealing that to us to say, this is an issue here.
Yeah.
And but to have our heart
wake us up sometimes.
Yeah. And to have your heart humble to know that we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is something internally that God would like to get closer to us with by getting rid of this. That's that revelation, I think.
Right.
That would happen.
Yeah.
And it might not be something we really want to hear.
Well, that's the point of fasting, is for the Spirit to wake us up sometimes, open our eyes to something. Anybody else? Deborah?
Read the scriptures, but the Old and New Testament ties God's answer the one in Ezra said, so we fasted and petitioned our God, and He answered our prayer. Bam, bam, bam.
ABC 1, 2, 3.
It wasn't a parenthetical.
Right.
Maybe this happened.
Yeah.
It was an absolute.
Yep. Good point.
Hold on. Do you think the fasting should just be food? Or I noticed when you read the first part that you could fast other.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about some other things. I believe it can be, you can fast from other things other than food. And I'll point some things out in a minute.
Also, a fast is not just completely stopping to eat. You could fast by just eating organic fruits and vegetables and say, I'm not going to eat anything but that. There's an example in Daniel where Daniel ate what we call the Daniel diet. And he said he was healthier and more able than 10 times what the other people were eating.
In 10 days.
He did it for 10 days, yeah. And he was 10 times more
astute
or something. Yeah, he said that he was exceeded the other people that ate from the king's table. So I think it's not just stopping to eat, but if you do ever try it and you've never done it before, don't start with like a 3 or 7 day. Start with just maybe a half a day or 1 day. Don't try and start too quick with that, because your body needs to get used to transitioning from burning carbohydrates to fat. And that's what essentially you do when you start fasting. That transition is difficult for people who are not fat burning. They're always carb burning. So it's difficult to transition from carb burning to fat burning if you don't do it very often. So try it slowly at first, and then maybe over a period of time you can fast longer. But there are people now who cured their diabetes by fasting 7 to 30 days. There's a huge number of examples of this in our country where people have cured their diabetes by fasting.
Valeria?
I was going to say, I did the Daniel fast during that class, and I was concerned at the time because I was training for a marathon, but I did do it. And it was a good thing for me. It was important to my prayer life.
Right. So. Okay. Moving on, because we're running, we got more to cover here. Huh? Make me later.
Yeah, later.
Yeah, you did. You went over. It's your fault.
So to take the floor since it's mine. I mean, don't we think that, ignoring the health benefits of fasting, eating is something we all do every day.
Right, and we have to, generally.
I can give up like
right.
Badminton.
Right.
Like that. All those things, I can fast.
Playing the accordion.
Playing the accordion.
Yeah.
I have to do that stuff every day.
Oh, okay.
You know, eating is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to get that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So by fasting, it's us turning away from not sin, but turning away from our chorus of desires yeah. that we have.
It, and it's humbling. Like I said, it's humbling to some degree.
You know what? I think that fasting from any media would probably be harder for most of us today. Yeah.
Don't look at your page six. Do not go there. So how should Christians fast? Number one, and I put this as number one, not to be seen of men.
Amen.
That's in Matthew 6. Whether fasting by ourselves or with others, it's important that we not do it for show. Number two, not as some regular ritual. It should be done only when the occasion calls for it, when you would be spending much time in prayer. Not without true repentance. All the praying and all the fasting is of no avail if it's not accompanied with a penitent obedience. Some practical suggestions, and here again I'm not the authority, but do not go out and fast just because it sounds like a neat thing to do. Take the subject seriously. Fast only when the occasion is a serious one and one in which you desperately desire God's help. If you have never fasted before, start slow, fasting only for brief periods of time. Eat slow, gradually breaking your fast with fresh fruits and vegetables. Fast when you have time to spend in prayerful meditation. Remember, the purpose for fasting to humble oneself in God's sight and to seek favorable answer to prayer for some important plea. Any questions?
So when somebody's telling me this is their day of fast, they're not being very humble.
They are not. Nope. But again, it's the attitude. If you know them real well and they know you, they may be asking you to pray for them while they're fasting. So that could be a way that they want you to know it. But don't get up on the pulpit and say it. So, types of fasting. And I found this interesting. There are different types of fasting in the Bible, and not all of them involve food. There are some non-food fasts, which we'll talk about. The first one, and I've kind of listed them in order of extremes to the lower ones, supernatural fast. This is abstaining from both food and water for 40 days, usually enabled to do so only by miraculous enabling from God. Moses and Elijah took part in miraculous 40-day absolute fast. When Moses met God on the mountaintop to receive the Ten Commandments, he ate no bread and drank no water. And after Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, Elijah spent 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. There is no scriptural record of anyone fasting beyond 40 days. This should be a medical health alarm because fasting beyond 40 days can bring health complications that may be hard to reverse. The second one is regular fast. Consists of abstaining from all food and drink except for water. The body can function only 3 days without water. This is the type of fasting Judas, King Jehoshaphat, called for when his country was confronted with invasion in 2 Chronicles. The Lord defeated their enemies, and the men of Judah blessed the Lord. After the Babylonian captivity, the people returned to Jerusalem, prayed and fasted, asking God for his protection on their journey. Here's my question to the class, or my three questions to the class. How many days was Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil? 40 days. How many of those days did he fast?
Forty
is what we think. Here's the main question. Was this a supernatural fast with absolutely no food or water, or was it a regular fast, water only? I'll let you think about it. Was it a supernatural with absolutely no food or water, or was it food only, where he drank water for 40 days?
I think there's some place where it says food and water.
We do know. We weren't there, but we do know.
How do we know?
Turn to Luke 4:2, and some of you turn to Matthew 4:1-2. Or yeah, 1 and 2. Luke 4, verse 2. And Matthew 4:1-2. Who has Luke 4:2?
Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil, he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry.
All right. Matthew 4:1-2.
And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by
night, he then became hungry.
Does that mean he drank some water during for 40 days? Doesn't talk about him being thirsty, only talks about him being hungry. Think about it. There it is.
You just said the body can only function 3 days without water.
But we do know that Moses and Elijah went 40 days without it because of a miraculous fast. I can't hear you when you're leaning down.
I thought in verse 4,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Water,
so right. We don't know because, like Jim said, we weren't there, but these verses tell you that he may have drank water. We know he didn't drink, didn't eat food, but he may have at least drank some water. So.
I would think that if he drank water, they would have noted it, and he abstained from food and water.
You would think.
Food,
yeah.
Leaves it wide open.
Yeah. So that's just my little extra. You know, I always give you something more than what you pay for. So the next one is the absolute fast or a full fast. No food or water is consumed for a short period of time. When Esther discovered the plan for all the Jews to be killed in Persia, she and her fellow Jews fasted from food and water for 3 days before she entered the king's court. So that's food or water for a short period of time. A partial fast, when one abstains from some particular kind of food, as in the case of Daniel. This is what Wayne was talking about earlier. Daniel's fast, to express his grief on this occasion, only admitted choice food, and it also involved relinquishing some uses of oils and lotions for refreshment. The liquid fast, you abstain only from solid foods. Most who choose this path are sustained by fruit juices and the like. If you're over 50 and you've gone through a particular medical condition, a medical procedure, you know what this is all about. Right, Rosie?
If you want to know what it's all about, watch a...
No, you just go through it. You know what it's all about. Trust me. Right, Todd? Todd had it last week. Todd had it last week.
There's one called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead.
Oh, really? And there's a final fast. It's fairly new as far as what it's being called, interpenitent fasting. It is an umbrella term for various eating diet plans that cycle between a period of fasting and non-fasting over the defined period. The most common one right now is the 16-8 diet, where you eat all you want to for 8 hours and then you fast for 16. But anytime you limit food intake during a day or a week or whatever is considered a fast. Like if you skip a meal, that's considered an intermittent fast. So all forms of partial fasting are entirely appropriate.
Actually, the morning meal is called a break fast.
Break fast. That's where it comes from. Yeah. Yeah. So again, if you decide to fast, you must be mindful of the different types and consider the one or more that would work best for you. And if in doubt, consult a doctor. Any questions about the different types?
There is a forced fast.
What kind and what sort of way?
When I went through Air Force Survival School.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. There is different, some other types of fasting, and this is what Teresa was talking about and some others. I've labeled them the TV movie fast, where you just turn off the TV for a while. Our social media fast, sign off of social media, don't sign on for a while, and secular music or any other type of whatever. And then we could be here all day naming different types, but there are a lot more types of fasting. Any questions about the types of fasting? And one is not any better than the other. That depends on you and what you're trying to get out of it. So I'm not here to say one is better than the other. One demands more dedication than the other. But football season. Wait a minute now. Three. Whoa now. We're inside 30 days. Don't touch football.
Valeria, you didn't hear Todd back here. His comment was blasphemous.
Fast to get such foolish.
Yeah. So God does not require the man fasting of Christians. At the same time, the Bible presents fasting as something that is good, profitable, and beneficial. Too often the focus of fasting is on the lack of food. Instead, the purpose of fasting should be to take our eyes off the things of this world to focus completely on God. Anything given up temporarily in order to focus all our attention on God can be considered a fast. Fasting is not intended to punish the flesh, but to redirect attention to God. The purpose of a biblical fast is not to lose weight, but rather to gain deeper fellowship with God. Anyone can fast, but some may not be able to fast from food, such as diabetics. Everyone can temporarily give up something in order to draw closer to God. By taking our eyes off the things of this world, we can more successfully turn our attention to Christ. Fasting is not a way to get God to do what we want. Fasting does not change God, but it changes us. Fasting is not a way to appear more spiritual than others. Fasting is to be done in a spirit of humility and a joyful attitude. Any final questions or comments? Wayne?
I have to share this because of something that's really current in my life. I have a brother who has diabetes. He's a little younger than I am, but he has diabetes, and he's, those who know what diabetes can do to it, usually causes you to have a lot of heart problems, contributes to heart attacks a lot. And so he's had several heart attacks. He had a blood clot in his heart just very recently, and he was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. They gave him blood thinners and all kinds of other medications, of course. He left, and finally the clot, they think, went away, and he left, and he came. And they said he still had a problem with the timing of his heart. So he went back into the hospital, and they shocked his heart in order to get it back beating on the right cadence.
Yeah, the two paddle thingies. Yeah.
When they did, he flatlined.
Oh.
And so they had to shock him again to get him back to life. And so anyway, they gave him a lot of antibiotics. They gave him a lot of medications. He went home and he became very inflamed. His whole body became swollen. And I think he couldn't even breathe. He said at night he was just gasping for breath. And he would wake up in the middle of the night, not able to breathe. He gained so much weight that he got up to 310 pounds. About 4 days ago, he decided that he was going to go on a juice fast where he just juiced raw fruits and vegetables. He did this, I just saw this last night on Facebook where he's doing this, but he started it about 4 days ago. And in the first 3 days, he lost 25 pounds.
3 days?
3 days, he lost 25 pounds. Ooh. He's not water fasting.
Yeah.
He's just juice fasting because his body was so inflamed from all the toxins in his body, from the drugs he was taking.
Oh, wow.
That his body became swollen. And but he's now starting to do, he feels like God has spoken to him in this way. And now he's putting this on Facebook. He's kind of like doing a Facebook blog or something.
Yeah.
Where he's going to do a 35-day juice fast to see if he can be completely cured of the diabetes and his heart problems that he's had.
Okay.
He said that in 3 days, now he can breathe again. He just feels great. But 3 days ago, he felt like he was about to die.
Oh, wow. That sounds pretty good. Your page 7 has just 7 points from a Charles Stanley on the benefits of prayer and fasting. That's just a little extra because I needed something else to fill up a page. Your last page is the role of fasting played in establishing America's freedom. I'm not going to go into real big detail. You can read it for yourself. It's where Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, called for a day of fasting at different times during the Revolutionary War. Look at point 3A and 3B. Even though I listed them separate, they go together. March 16, 1776, George Washington ordered Thursday the 7th, the next day, to be set apart as a day of fasting, prayer, and humiliation, asking officers and soldiers to implore the Lord and giver of all victory to bless the Continental Army with his divine favor and protection. While the troops were fasting, British General William Howe had planned to attack the Americans by landing 3,000 troops and charging up Dorchester Heights, and that's in South Boston. However, a violent snowstorm arose, causing the sea to be so turbulent the attack had to be abandoned. So you're talking about fasting and what fasting and prayer can do. There's a good example of it right there. And Abraham Lincoln called for a day of fasting March 30th, 1863, during the Civil War. Bernard?
I have another question to add on our prayer list, and I thought about it when Wayne was talking about this. Aaron Williams is obesely overweight, and he was put into the hospital because of his Rick and Mary Jones used to attend here. He's in the hospital right now. And I'm going to see if I can get Wayne to call him, because that
yeah.
made me think about it. I was talking to Rick the other day. He's in our office. So add Aaron Jones to your prayer list. He's in Polo Beach Hospital.
Okay, next week we're going to talk about raising of hands and anointing with oil. Yes, sir, Todd? Oh. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Is it built into human beings to love sweet and stuff and not like the other stuff? The reason I ask is because my family, I was 9 years old when I made this quick. I was nine. My sister was feeding her infant kid with a Gerber.
Yeah.
And any time that she would spoon feed her with the green beans, this infant would push it back.
Spit it out.
The peaches and stuff like that, it would, the baby would eat in it as much as she would shovel into her mouth. So is
I don't know. Infant? You make
only Americans.
Yeah. Only Americans.
Do not eat this kind of sugar. Neither do Japanese. Americans are the ones who eat sugar. We're about the only one in the whole. Maybe French.
All right. Let's close with a prayer because some of us have a meeting in 3 minutes. Yes, ma'am.
Maybe we should pray for those that have been affected by the.
The shootings. Yeah. El Paso and where was the other one?
Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for loving us unconditionally. Forgive us when we fail to love others in the same way. Give us eyes to see the needs of the difficult people in our lives and show us how to meet those needs in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen.